Yeah, there's a by and by where we'll understand life after better. And what are the things we went through in this life? We understand it all better by and by. That's our hope of looking for a better place, a better life, amen, in a place called heaven, amen? And where God would be there, and he'd wipe away all tears from our eyes, and no more crying and dying, and no more hospitals and sick people, no more ICU like I was at yesterday with my nephew. No more days like that. Every day, every one of us looking for that blessed day where there's a better life, amen? It's good to be back home, be back in Houston, amen. Been out in a couple weeks. Mississippi was a wonderful experience, and certainly doing in DeSoto at the tent meeting. Certainly we preached the word of God for 2 weeks. So that was a wonderful thing for me. I love preaching the word. And so you're here today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're my honored guest, and I want you to know that you are the VIP of our audience, and we want you to be certainly blessed to know the truth. And hopefully and prayerfully that you'll obey the truth, knowing Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's hill for you. Shed his blood that'll wash your sins away. Purchase a church that you can read about in the Bible. It's called the Church of Christ. And that's why we're members of the Church of Christ. Amen? Amen. So we're grateful. Sister Brenda lost his mother on this morning, I understand. We had a death in the family. That's Tiffany Johnson, Tanya, Daddy's mother, their grandmother, and so, sister. We call her name Brenda. We call her, what we call her? Joyce. What Joyce is? Joyce, she with her daddy? With your daddy? Okay. So they lost a loved one on this morning. Certainly we want to appreciate prayer for our family members who are mourning the loss of loved ones as we pray today. Let's keep in mind those who have lost loved ones. Also ask a prayer for my nephew who is in ICU, came out of coma, but wasn't. They had to take him back into the coma on this morning because he had a cardiac arrest. And then my sister did CPR on him, but we're hoping there's no brain damage. So we know God is able. Amen. We know God is good, and we know that prayers are answered. Because the Bible teaches the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. So we trust him and we trust his will be done in our lives, and that's what we must do. Amen?
Amen.
Continuing our study of the book of John. Thank you, Brother Stroud. A wonderful sermon on last week. I wouldn't listen to it myself. Everybody was talking about it so good, Brother Stroud. You must have came on with it. It's good to have a good man behind you when you're not here, that you can trust to deliver doctrine, sound doctrine messages. And we're thankful for him and all of you who've served with us here at Hollow Heights. Come see a man. John chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1, brother. And let's read down to verse 15 where we stopped at last time I was here a week or so ago. And he said, when the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard
that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John.
Yeah.
Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples.
Yeah, we dealt with that. Go ahead.
He left Judea and departed again into Galilee.
Okay.
And he must needs go through Samaria.
All right, go ahead.
Then coming he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar.
Yeah.
Near the parcel of a ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph.
All right, read on.
Now Jacob's well was there. Uh-huh. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Mm-hmm. And it was about the sixth hour.
Okay,
there coming a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink.
And this is the woman we're going to be talking about. Same woman. Go ahead.
For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat.
Yeah.
Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, mm-hmm. How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
That's why she asked the question. We don't deal with that in the last sermon. Go ahead.
Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
She only knew it was Jesus. Keep going.
The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Mm-hmm. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Mm-hmm. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst.
Right.
But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water.
That was last week's sermon.
That I thirst not.
And she wanted this water. It's eternal life. Now we pick up.
Come hither to draw.
Okay, now we get to where we stop. Then, so she asked for the water. She wants this living water he's talking about. But before Jesus gives her that, he questioned her background. Then Jesus said unto her,
Go.
He said, Go call your husband
and come hither.
And then you come to me. The woman answered and said,
I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband.
I know that.
For thou hast had five husbands.
Now, I know not only do you not have a husband now, but you have had five more.
And whom thou in now hast baptism, is not thy husband.
Being saved don't wash away memory of God. He remember how many wives you had. Amen. Somebody said, well, I've been married one time. Well, you might have been married five. You had five wives. How many wives do you have? That's how many times you've been married. Yeah, we got a good discussion with that when it comes to husband and one wife, when it comes to the others. One wife at a time, or my current wife, yeah, but Brother Brown went to this text and said, well, did the memory of the other five go away? Well, the five didn't go away. God's memory, I understand, having a five wives is not a sin. As long as you didn't violate no scripture. If a woman died, you can have five different. God gives you the right to go marry again. Now, I just tell you, women, if every wife died, you might all think about marrying that dude. I'll be saying, Lord, who's next? Wife number three now. And then some of you men, you know, if she already took out three, and you number four. It seems all them dying. I don't know if I'd marry that woman. You got something going on. And maybe she feeding them paws. Y'all watch that. What's that show they watch? All them. My wife loves that show. What is it, baby? ID. She watch ID. Them women, they be feeding them guys Austin, man. Yeah, I be looking at my wife. Make sure she ain't sprinkling nothing on your food. But he says, I have five husbands. He whom thou now hast.
It's not thy husband.
Now he said, not only do you have five. He said, now, not only do I know you got five. You don't have, but the one you with, you shack. No, he didn't say shack. I said shack. See, there's some of us like this woman. They got a man. It's the sad part of when women got a man. That, you know, he getting milk. Cow, you know, why buy the cow if the milk is what?
Free.
Say it in the mic.
Free.
So in this case, this woman's case is kind of like probably somebody here's case. She got her man, you know, but he ain't married to her. You know, I hope she knows she in sin. And he in sin. Now here's where they get slick to. Now they might not shack. But they gonna do what married people do. You know, they sitting by each other right now. They chilling, kicking it. You know, they had a little something going on last night. They ain't married. Now what are you saying, brother? Jesus, no, you ain't married. Yeah, now 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now here's how you avoid problems such as having you a man, having you a woman. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the book says what?
Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me.
Yeah, right.
It is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Now, this is where you learn not to use just one scripture. You know, this is why you make sure you have more than one scripture. Because now, brothers, if we just stay with one scripture, verse 1, it's good. For a man.
Not to touch a woman.
Now, if we just stay with that scripture, we're in trouble, aren't we? Say amen, brother. Like you ain't, they ain't touched no woman. Well, some of you, I mean, amen, Paul. Leave that alone. Leave that alone. That right. Don't touch that stuff. Men touch men these days. I don't suppose to mess with that, do I? Now, well, I'm coming back off of gospel meeting because I'm pretty frisky. kind of mess with that a little bit. Men touch men and women touch women. But the Bible don't say nothing about man touching a man or having a desire for a man or a woman having a desire for a woman, does it? No, it don't. You don't even see male horses having a desire for another male horse. Do you? Do you see a female dog chasing another female? No, why is it that men and women want us to believe that that's natural? And they say nature. No, that's inordinate affection for one man to want another man. Amen. Now, are you sinning? Yes. But is your sin bigger than the liar? No. But you got to repent, my sister, if you want a man, a woman. And my young brother, old brother, the undercover brother. You got some undercover brother. You know, they said, man, you got something in your eye. Y'all seen that movie? Somebody, the way they know, you see, I see something in your eye. You say, yes, and that means you gay too. But you got a wife and kids. Y'all know there's some folk out there like that? They got their wife and kid in a home and got them a man on the side. That man, something wrong. Is something wrong? Yeah, something wrong. Something wrong with that. Because that's not normal. That's inordinate affection. And if I got feminine ways, that's effeminate. Men are men and women are women. Men don't walk like women. And when they do, you can tell it's fake. Because their pelvics ain't made to deliver babies. So you can't shake it like her, bro. God didn't make you to shake your... Yeah. You know, and so you got to preach about this kind of stuff these days, because we live in a world where we want people to come into the church and be accepted. No, no, no. Homosexuality is wrong. Amen. Homosexuality is a sin. Amen. And you need to know you can die like that. Now, is shacking wrong? Yes. What's the answer? He said, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. That's how you avoid. So what do you do about a situation when you got your man or you got your woman? Well, here's what I talked to y'all about last time. If you're going to marry, you marry someone of like precious faith. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? You should do... make sure before you fall in love with your potential husband or wife, if they have a belief system that's in line with yours and the scripture. Now, you make sure yours is in line with the scripture too. Amen. If you don't believe in the scripture, then you can't help somebody else. Now, the reason many people can't get their spouses or girlfriends to obey the truth when you start telling them about one church and one Lord and one faith and one baptism, because they fornicating. And so how are you going to tell me something? Here you laying in the bed with me doing this. Or then you going to tell me, you know, to save them in the church of Christ. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Yeah? So I thought I'd just drop on this woman, because we don't know why this woman had five husbands. She could have been married, and she could have died, or she could have divorced, or whatever. That's not, the Bible doesn't deal with that. It doesn't say what happened. It just said Jesus letting her know, I know your past. And so what I'm dealing with is the sinful acts of living unmarried and having fornication going on. And, you know, old folk do that too, so don't think it's just young people. Yeah, they got some Sam still getting at it. They have it going on, yeah. Don't get something, you know, they got a girlfriends and boyfriends. Ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong with it, as long as you get you one you're going to marry. And then if God give you the right, if you lose your wife, hug, give you the right to remarry, the reason he give you that right is so you can avoid fornication. Go get you another wife in the Lord. Only in the Lord. Look, Johnny Thomas, he one of them kind. Only in the Lord. Why did he give him a right to remarry? Because to avoid what? Fornication. Get you a wife. God gave you the right, take it. Amen. One of the things you ought to be able to say, I'm a husband of one wife for years. Yeah, years. You ought to be. You ought to stay with one woman if you ought to get with the woman. Now, man, I had 3-4 women. You ought to think about that. Think about that. Good place to talk about marriage, huh? Amen. Yeah. Now, y'all, and also, I just want to say to the young people, do like who? Do who even? I walked in this morning, first time I seen him since I married him. I said, brother, sister, Huey. That was pretty nice, isn't it? Both of them in the Lord, both of them were serving, married in the Lord, got premarital counseling. They did it, in my opinion, the right way, that's Brother Brooks' opinion. Amen. And they better not mess up my record, because I don't have no divorces. I say that to you with meaning. Feel me? Been throwing shade on them now this morning. Put them out there. Raise your hand. That young couple got married. Raise your hand. It went off to, where y'all go to Cancun? Cancun. Who? Costa Rica. Who is happy? He look happy, don't he? What you were talking about? Costa Rica, bro. Go on then. Nothing wrong with that. That's an example of good Christian living. Amen. Serve the Lord. Amen. And you know, where's the other thing? I want to get my board up. I'm going to use that a little bit this morning, too. I might preach an hour and a half there. I just feel real good. Feel real good. Feel good to be back home. Good to see everybody. See, I got my away game. You know, when I'm on my away game, I preach hard. Boy, I come home, I try to chill down a little bit. But let me show y'all a little something here. You want to help me, ain't you? There it is. Thank you. Here's your life. From the time you're born, y'all seen this before. You'll see it till you die. Now, but here's the point I want to make right here. Now, here's your lifeline, your life. Here's right now in your life. This has happened. This is your past life. And this is your future, which is unknown. Only thing we know is that's coming. Y'all got it? This is your lifeline. Your lifeline. What is lifeline made of? Time. So you on time. Whose time are you on? God's time. You're on a countdown, not a count up. You're counting up like Sister Stroud this morning. I think she's 62 or 63 or somewhere. But her birthday is today. And she's counting on up. But God is counting her down. You follow me? Yeah. She 70+. Is that right, Sister Stroud? How old are you, Sister Stroud?
She's not 3-4.
Brother Stroud, you? I didn't ask you, Brother Stroud. Sister Stroud. You're not 3-4. Yeah. Brother Stroud said, I ain't got no old woman. Even though she older than he is. Brother Stroud got him. She wouldn't got her. Young man. Sister Stroud, I hear you. But on birthdays, we counting up. Timeline, we count down. So the serious side of this whole matter is that God knows this woman's past. And so the answer to our past is forgiveness. And so this woman, if you're here today and you want eternal life, you've got to take a look at your past. You got to look at how you live. You got to look at the things you need to change. You need to look at what you need to repent of. You need to understand your sins need to be washed away. If you're a member of the church and you have not been coming to worship for the last 6 years or 10 years or 2 years or 2 days, 2 Sundays, and you've been leaving the Lord out your life, you've been forsaking the assembly, you need to repent, number one. Say, God, I'm sorry. Confess your faults one to another. And you need to come back and do it today because tomorrow is not past. Here's what. That's in your past. Last week I missed worship. That means you're in sin currently. Your now condition is sin. So what do? As children of God, those of us who are children of God that have been washed already, we are to confess our faults one to another and ask God to forgive us. That's how you stay in fellowship with God. Then those who are not members of the Lord's church have not obeyed the truth. You have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb in order to have your past forgiven. Now, what past? The past life as a sinner. That's the thing about it. All of us have sweat. Sin and falling short of the glory of God. Now, once your past is forgiven, then you need to learn to forgive yourself. What I find often in Christian counseling is many people live with their past haunting them when God has said, I'll forgive you. Amen. So you say, Brother Brooks, what do you do? And some people count. I hear professionals say that, forgive and forget. You cannot forget. Forgiveness is a decision. to decide to forgive self. Yes, I aborted my baby. Did God forgive me? Yes. Should I forgive myself? Yeah. Why? That the answer to the conscience, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism is the answer to a good conscience. What it does? It wipes away the guilt of the sins of your past. That makes sense? Yeah, 1 Peter 3:21. The Bible says there, baptism does also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh. We don't get baptized because there's dirt all over our bodies. We get baptized for the remission of sins, and that remission then gives us a clear conscience. It's an answer to a good conscience. And so what is the conscience doing? The conscience is relieving you of the guilt of your past life. Every sin we commit is the past. It's in the past. And the book says there in Romans chapter 2 and the verse number 15, the Bible teaches us that God gives us this conscience that either excuses us or accuses us. Now, your conscience just accuses you if you miss worship over and over and over, and I got you. Your conscience now saying, I'm one of those people who stayed at home when I knew I had a ride to worship. I could have came to worship. I didn't. You're in sin. Because you have purposely forsaken the worship which is commanded by God. You're in sin, my brother, sister. And what do you need to do? Repent and confess your sin. Yeah. And what you need to do? When should you do it? Right now. Why? Your past will go with you in the time countdown. Talking about that. Let's listen to Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 21. He said, and Jesus said unto them, I go my way and you shall seek me and shall what? Die in your sins. Where I am, you can't not come. Are you going to stay with me this morning? I'm going to do everything myself. Then he said unto the Jews, what?
Will he kill himself?
They answered, what are you talking about? Killing himself? No. Read.
Because he said, whether I go, you cannot come.
You can't come. He said, they think he's talking about something to commit suicide. Read.
And he said unto them, ye are from beneath.
Y'all from the earth.
I am from above.
I'm from heaven.
Ye are of this world.
Y'all from this world.
I am not of this world.
I'm not of this world.
I said,
what I'm telling
you
is this.
That ye shall die in your sins.
If you die in your sins, you're going to die in your sins if you believe not I am he.
Ye shall die in your sins.
So the only way we can be saved is believe in Jesus, obey the Lord, and do what he told us to do to be saved. Or we will die in our sins. And so this is, what is your sin? The sin is the life, your past life. And where everybody needs to understand, everybody got that past. Everybody got sins that we have to deal with. And the reason we washed in the blood because we want these sins washed away. But if these sins are between you and God and you die like that, you're going to die in your sins. Amen. So what he's saying now, if we understand what he's saying, understand this. There is a judgment coming. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. So here's what's going to happen. The things that you didn't get forgiven of will come up on judgment. You don't want that. You want God to remember your sins no more. Hebrews chapter 10 and the verses number 17 and 18. He said, your sins I will remember no more. So God forgets. He don't remember your past when you're covered in the blood of Jesus. And this is what we need to understand. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 18. Get that for me.
Now where remission of these is,
there is no more offering for sins. In other words, Jesus was the last lamb offered by God to forgive us. If you don't get washed in the blood of Jesus, you won't be forgiven. You will die in your sin except you believe. And then what was that blood for? Well, that blood was for the remission of sins. Matthew 26 and the verses number 28. Jesus said, this is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission or forgiveness of sins. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached to the Jews who actually killed and murdered Jesus, they asked him, men and brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission or for the forgiveness of your sin. So what are you saying, brother? This past right here, brothers and sisters, got to be forgiven before you die. Or if you don't, the past will then go to you and you will face God on judgment with every secret thing that ever you ever thought or done coming up on judgment. Now, how many of you want that? We don't want that. So what we do what God told us to do in order to have that forgiveness of sins. Amen? Let's go on back to John. Let's go back to John. Verse 19. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive
that thou art a prophet.
Now, she's basically admitting, you're right, I know. She's not fighting the truth. She knows, no sense of fighting God on your past. God knows everything about you. Our fathers worship in the mountain.
And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.
Now, she's basically, and then what is the right place to worship? The Samaritan worshiping Mount Gerizim, and then the Jews worshiping Mount Horeb in Jerusalem. And so Mount Moriah in Jerusalem there. So now she's asking him, which one, what are we worshiping? What's right? Now, we couldn't ask the same question the same way. The other question would be different. In America, we would say, which church do we worship in? Is it Baptist? Is it Methodist? Is it Church of Christ? Is it Pentecost? Is it Catholic? Or is it all or any of them? Well, America, if you read the Constitution, it's any of them. You read the Bible, it's one. Now, if you're going to get your information on your eternal salvation, you want to get it from the Bible. Amen. We also have to ask the question, is the division, is that okay? We would have to ask him that. Then we'd have to ask, how should we worship? What church do we worship in? Should we be in a denomination? Should we have instrumental music? Should we take the Lord's Supper on Sunday or first Sunday or every day? Amen. We have to ask Jesus a whole lot of questions that this woman didn't have to ask. She had one simple question. Which mountain? Why? Because they had Jews and Gentiles. Amen. They had true worshipers, and they had the worshipers of God, children of Israel, they were called. These people didn't have multiple churches on every corner. They had Judaism and Christianity. Now, Christianity came, it was first started in Antioch. There were no Christians in the Old Testament. So when we've talked to Jesus today, we would say, is 1 Corinthians 1:10. We'd have to ask questions, and then we'd have to get the answer from him. And he gave us all the answers in this book called the Bible. We call it the Doctrine of Christ. Now, here's what he said about division. 1 Corinthians 1:10, the Bible says,
Now I beseech you, brother, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing.
Now, every church should be saying the same thing. Every preacher should be saying the same thing. Amen. Read.
And that there be no divisions among you.
So denominate means division. Jesus said, just said through the Apostle Paul, no division. So what's the answer? No division. What's the answer? Denomination is sinful. It's wrong. It's against God's will. That's right? Yeah, that's right. If you're going to go with this book, you want to go with the encyclopedia, internet? God don't answer through the internet. He answers through his word, which is the Bible, the book called the Bible. And in the Bible says there should be no division that knocks out denomination. Let's see how many churches. Go to Ephesians 4:4. Ephesians 4:4. Let's see how many churches should we see in today's time. If we had Jesus standing for it like this woman, we would have to ask that question. How many churches? Ephesians 4:4 says what?
There is one body.
How many?
One.
Read.
And one spirit.
One body. One spirit. One body, one spirit.
Even as y'all calling, one hope of your calling.
One Lord.
One faith.
One faith.
One baptism.
How many baptisms?
One.
And one God. Now, if we ask Jesus, how many God? One. How many baptisms? One. How many faiths? One. How many Lord? One. How many hope? One. How many spirits? One. How many bodies? One. What is the body? Chapter 1, verse 22. Tell us very clearly what the body is. Now, here's come the question. How many churches? Here comes the answer. From the Bible. The book says what? Chapter 1, verse 22.
In the body of the flesh through death.
That ain't it. Chapter 1, verse 22. Put all things under feet and gave me head of all things to the church, which is his. The church is his what? So if we believe in one God, how many churches now we believe in? One. So if Jesus was answering your question, he'd say one church. Then the next question we'd have to him, which one is it? Well, let's go back to the same information. In Romans 16:16, Paul says, salute one another, holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. There it is. Sad to say, because my family was Baptist, there's no Baptist church in the Bible. Not in there. It's not in there. And I just got to say that because that's my family. My family, all of us was in that church. But that church is not in the Bible. Now, you can die in it if you want to. That's your charge. But if you want to go with this book, Jesus said, look, there should be no division. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. That church is referred to as Church of God. Me, myself, I want to be in the one I can read about in the Bible. You make your own decision. Which one I'm going to preach about? One. How many I'm going to tell you? One. How many God? One. How many Jesus? One. How many Holy Spirit? One. How many hopes? One. How many faiths? One. How many churches? One. Turn your record on. Let me say it again. One. Church. Which church? Church of Christ. You say, I don't agree. When you stand before their God and all secret things come up, you can say, that's what Brooks told me on October, what day is? It'll be in your book of life. I was told that, but I didn't believe it. And then you can deal with him. But I told you, did I not? Sure. What is the right thing to do? Tell people. Jesus said, go in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many will go that way. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way to lead to life, and few there be to find it. So what should we sing? Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to make a melody in your heart to the Lord. Every individual, the individual worship. That's why there's no choir. No one can sing for me. No one can commune for me. No one can give for me. The whole church is the choir, as it will be in heaven. The angels rejoice. Angels sing. All of them at the same time. That's what we do in the churches of Christ. We follow the New Testament pattern. Where somebody said, well, Brother Book, David had Israel. David sacrificed bulls and goats. Go right ahead. David wasn't a Christian. There was no Christians in the Old Testament. That's a bad reference. Christians came after the death of Jesus. And the Bible said in Acts chapter 11, there were Christians first in Antioch. Amen. That's why we have no get fillers and guitars in here, because we don't worship like David did. So what about David? Everybody said, what about David? What about him? I hear somebody saying, what about David? Did you say something? You really don't want to worship like David, because under David's law, you got stoned for sin. Folk, they don't want that. They don't want it. They're just cherry picking. They want that instrument, but they don't want his goats. Psalm 66. If you got to get bulls and goats sacrificial, that's how they sacrifice under Old Testament law. New Testament, the sacrifice was Jesus. He was the last lamb. We drink his blood. That's communion. Let's go on to another. The hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Verse 23, for the Father seeketh such. Now, here, the hour come and now is. Well, Jesus was there. The Savior of the world had come, and he was coming to, number one, die. His blood had to be shed. He came to purchase his church. His church would be his wife. She will wear his name. He came to shed the blood. There will be a new worship, a new day. The first day of the week became the day of resurrection. The new worship, they sing, they pray, they took communion every first day as the memorial for that Savior. He started that when he died. He instituted a new worship altogether than the Jews were. What you're experiencing here this morning is the way they worship in the first century. And no, they didn't have no beatboxing. That was Dougie Fresh. Somebody say, what? I'm telling you, think about congregations who done brought in Dougie Fresh as an example of worship. Somebody ought to tell our brethren that, understand this, if beatboxing is in worship, it wasn't authorized by God, but Dougie Fresh authorized it, and he didn't die for your sins. You better get away from that. I don't stop preaching it everywhere I go. That all that innovation stuff, getting all excited in worship and stuff. Understand this, worship God is a spirit, verse 24, and they that worship him must worship him. How?
Spirit and truth.
Strongest word in English language is must. When you can get around must, I mean you have options. Where there's must, there's no options. Their options are not to worship anyway. We worship in spirit and in truth. And that's what the spirit is, the individual worshiper. Now, if you have a worshiper of God, say, I don't care what you say, Brother Brooks. I don't care what the Bible, I'm going to get my praise on the way I want. Okay, but that's your spirit. I mean, that's a bad attitude to take before the throne of God. Your attitude must be a submissive to the throne of God. Here's where we are in worship. And it's something we need to understand. When we are in worship, we ought not to be on our iPhones and iPads and surfing the net. Amen. We ought to be in worship to God and understand that a hand clap of praise to God is not the way we praise. Hebrews 13:50, I think it is. It says that, what verse is that? 13:15 said, he said, we praise God with the fruit of our lips. Here's how you praise God: by singing, by saying amen, by audibly, not this. Praising God is audible. And God is the audience and not us. We are in the presence of God. That's why we do things decent art. That's why you're not going to see anyone jumping up here, flopping down the aisles, because it's orderly in the presence of the Almighty. Good preaching, Brother Rick. I know, I agree. Here's the thing. That's the way we're going to do it. You know, under my watch, anyway, at this congregation. We're going to be decently in an order. Amen. We're going to do as good as they do at Judge Judy Court. We're in the presence of the Almighty Judge. You can't do no anything in Judge Judy Court. She'll tell you quick. Who you think I am? You think I'm up on here because I'm pretty? No, I'm sorry. Is that right? Judge Judy, she demands respect. Do you understand worship demands respect and reverence to God? Let me try to close this, because y'all looking at me funny. Then woman said
to him, I know the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ.
When he come,
he will tell us all things.
Jesus said to her,
I that speak unto thee am he.
He just came on, I'm him. That's it. Now he doesn't come to, he just go right there. You talking to Jesus. You talking to the Messiah. Look what this woman said.
And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou
now,
with
they,
her?
They seen Jesus talking to Samaria, which is not normal. But Jesus know what we should know. God don't look at nationality or colors. He look at souls. And this woman's soul was lost. So we should be the same. We regardless of color, regardless of nationality, we will come in and teach you the truth. Now, here's this one. The disciples knew. You don't question the master. They didn't question him.
The woman then left her water pot.
She put that
went
pot
her way
down
into the city.
She would ask for water earlier. But now she put the pot down, and she said, come see
a man.
That's my child right there. Come, she said, come see a man
which
who
told me all things I ever did.
She asked, is this not him? This must be the Christ. This man done told me everything. They went out of the city and came unto him. Now go to John chapter 3, in verse 39. The continuation of this thought is verse 39, and I'm closing right there. The continuation, 39 through 42. Listen to what the Bible say right there.
John what?
The same chapter you in, chapter 4. Oh, just drop down to verse 39 quick. Flip over to it, scroll over to it on your iPhone. You got how you do it. Drop down and scroll. 39, scroll.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed
now,
in him for the
this
sake
was a
of the
Samaritan woman, and the Samaritan listened to her because she went, y'all come see a man. And then many of them, what?
Which testified. He told me all that ever I did.
She said, this man told me everything about me. Read.
So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them.
Yeah, they wanted to meet this man. This man, she talked about, come see a man. Wanted to meet this man.
And he abode there two days.
And Jesus went and stuck to spend more time with Samaritans. Read.
And many more believed
because
of his own word.
Because Jesus was with them, believed. And what happened?
And said unto the woman.
And they told the woman.
Now we believe.
We believe.
Not because of thy saying.
That he's a Christ. Not because you told us.
For we have heard him ourselves.
Yeah. Now this is what you got to know about you. You got to hear him yourself. Read.
And know that this is indeed the Christ.
And they said this is indeed the Christ. Indeed the Christ.
The Savior of the world.
The Savior of the world. They said this is him. We ain't caring what you told us, but this man is him. And I say today, when a person look at their past life and they want to get forgiven, you got to know Jesus for yourself. You got to come to believe, not because somebody told you, not because you saw him on the Calvary, but you got to believe that he came to die for your sins according to the scripture. You got to see the man who can take your sins away. Come see a man that came and shed his blood. I'm saying, come see the man. The man is Jesus who hung on Calvary's cross. This man came from heaven's glory. This man hung on the cross. He was beaten. He was spit upon. He was mocked. He was executed. I'm telling the world, come see a man who would die for your sins according to the scripture, a man who they buried in a borrowed tomb, a man who early got up from the grave and say, go in all the world, preach the gospel. Tell them about the man Jesus. Tell them he died. Tell them they beat him. Tell them they suffered. Tell them I shed in my blood for the remission of their past, forgiveness of their sins. And that's the man that she told him, come see this man. Is he not the Christ? How many of y'all can see this man? Who is this man? He's Jesus. Who was this man? He was the only begotten of the Son of God. Where is this man? Sitting on the right hand of the Father. What did this man do for us? Die for our sins. Shed his blood to wash our past away. To give us a bright future of making heaven our home. What do you got to do? You got to sin by faith. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You got to believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And that he did come from heaven. And that he did suffer. And that he did die. Not because you see in him. Not because of that. Your faith came from the book. There is one God in this book. One Lord. That's Jesus in this book. That Lord hung on Mount Calvary. Golgotha, the place of a skull. It was on the hill far away. Would stand the old rugged cross. It would be an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross, that man, Jesus, died for you and me. How many of y'all love him for it? How many of y'all are thankful for his blood? How many of you thankful that your past sins gone? Everything you ever done wrong. Amen. Man, wasn't that a good feeling when you got baptized? I heard we had 3 youngs got baptized last week. You go down in that water. I mean, I want to go back in there every week, seems like. I mean, you. Boy, it's just such a fresh feeling. It's better than a shower. You go in there, shower right, well, don't do nothing but get dirt off of you. But when you step in that water, DJ, and they bury you with Christ, all that ugly stuff you done, everything you ever done wrong, you hear me? Everything you ever done wrong, God said, I'm going to wash that away, and I ain't going to ever remember it again, man. Ain't that a good God? Amen. Ain't that a good God that won't remember everything you done, man? And he said, all you got to do is believe it. You got to step in there believing God is there. Believe in Christ's blood going to wash away your sin. You hear that, brother? Step in that water. What are you doing, brother? Stepping in here. What do you do? I believe. Who you see? I see a man. I see a man who died for my sins. I see blood. Yeah. Amen. That blood going to wash away my sin. Somebody say amen. Boy, I got my sin washed away. Yeah, somebody ought to want to come this morning. How many of you want to come this morning? Have you sinned? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That's the only question we're going to ask you. Do you believe? You do like the man did in Acts 8:37. You say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then what you do then? Jesus said, he that believeth and is. We're going to baptize you this morning. You don't even have to worry about your hair. We got something for it. You don't have to worry about your clothes. We got some dry ones. We're going to put you in our clothes, bury you with Christ. He's going to clean up your past. You'll be like this woman. You go to your home and tell your family, come see a man. Amen. That'll wash away all my sin. Come see a man I met this morning. Amen. His name is Jesus. He forgave me of my sins. I heard it. I believed it. I repented. I confessed. And those folk baptized me. And then I became a member of that man's church. It's called the Church of Christ. And that's where you die at, in the Church of Christ. I want y'all to know who on this side need to be baptized. What I want you to do, as soon as we stand, I want you to start walking. Everybody who need to get baptized right here, start walking. I want you, if you're going to get baptized, I want you to start walking. Walk. If you're old enough to know, you can say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're old enough to be baptized. And I want you to be baptized. I want you to walk to the front. Tell the person next to you, come on, I'm going, God. I'm going to see the man this morning. I got to see the man this morning. I'm going to see the man. How many of y'all going to see the man? Members of the church, you ain't been worshiping. You know you've been unfaithful. You need to come back and see the man. Come down here today and say, I've been unfaithful. You don't have to tell us what you've done. Just say, I'm coming back. I'm back. I'm coming to get my past forgiven. And going forward, I'm going to be faithful to the man. And that's what I want you. I want those who want to get washed to come. I want those who want to repent and confess to come. And I want those who are going through troubles and you need trials and tribulations and you need prayer. We want you to come. We got the song ready. Y'all ready? When it start walking, soon as you stand up, as together we stand.